and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Bill O'Brien, who is the president of Connecticut Right to Life Corporation. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bill.
Glad to be here again. Thanks.
Part of your duties or role as the president is to keep up on the legislative issues in Connecticut. And I bet a lot of people don't realize how many things are going on in Hartford that relate to the pro-life movement and what things we need to be kept abreast of. And that's really, you guys have been doing such a great job of giving us all the information of things going on in Hartford. So what's going on this legislative session that we need to know about?
Well, first of all, just put in perspective, this is a short session. So it's supposed to be about budgetary issues, and that will be the main focus up there. That makes it difficult to bring up other issues. We wanted to bring up parental notification this year. Again, because of the budget, unless it's attached to some kind of spending of money, it's tough to get those bills up. But we're still trying to bring the issue up, at least, if not a bill, perhaps for a informational hearing where the public can go to it, but the public wouldn't be able to speak. But they would have a panel of invited guests, probably from both sides, to speak about the issue.
Now, is this to inform the public or more to inform our legislators?
It would at least start a public discussion, in the legislature at least, and, it could be broadcast statewide. And, we still are contacting our legislators, asking them first for the informational hearing and sort of laying the groundwork for next year. And it's always a chance as well that, if some other bill comes up that's related to this issue, that it could come out as an amendment. So there's still that possibility this year as well.
And when you say a short session, that means that it's an election year? Is that why it's a short session?
Well, not necessarily, but that's, I think, why they don't have other bills coming up is, it only goes from February, it's over early May, instead of going from January to June in the longer session. Mm-hmm. But again, because it is an election year, they do try to avoid controversial issues.
Because re-election is on the line. Okay.
They'll save that for the first year that they're in office and play it safe the second year.
Parental notification is something that we've tried several times in the past to get in Connecticut. How many states have parental notification?
All but about six have some kind of parental involvement, parental consent, parental notification, or something like that. So there's only six, and Connecticut's one of them that doesn't have any notice, any kind of consent that's needed from the parents for a minor girl under 18, as young as 12 or 13, a girl can walk into an abortion clinic in Connecticut and get an abortion without her parents knowing about it.
I mean, that really, every time somebody says that, it really blows my mind because, I know how strict the schools are as far as, kids and Tylenol and, any kind of medication. My daughter, she was prone to febrile seizures, and I had to have, every 6 months, I had to have a signed note from the doctor saying that it was okay for her to take, over-the-counter medicine, in case she, had a fever of 99 or above, So it really made it super hard, for them to treat my daughter, even though she was prone to these seizures. And yet, they could take her to an abortion clinic at the age of 12 if, and obviously a predator is getting away with something if the parents don't know that the daughter's even pregnant.
Yeah, I've read that the younger the girl that gets pregnant, usually the older the guy is. So if it's a 12 or 13-year-old, the guy is often 22 or older. Whereas if it's older, then it's probably more a peer.
Right. But even so, you want to know. This is a medical procedure. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous medical procedure at that. And, you really should be in on your daughter's medical care and know of these. Because the girl in, and she was almost 18. In fact, she might have been 18, Holly Patterson, who had gone and gotten a chemical abortion. And she was found sick at home. Her parents had no idea. no idea why she was sick. And so they can't even tell the ER what's going on with her, and she ended up dying. So these are really serious issues, and I think I really applaud you guys for trying to get these valiant effort trying to get it into Connecticut.
All right. Well, you know, you raised the medical issue, and that's a big issue that's been a force in other states to get these laws passed. And that is that, you know, there are a lot of complications from abortion. And if the parents aren't aware of, you know, why the girl is having these complications, you know, they can't deal with it.
Right.
And the complications can be sleeping disorders, eating disorders,
suicidal tendencies,
particularly in the first year after the abortion. You know, it's several times, I believe it's 6 times to 7 times greater than a woman or a girl that would have given birth.
Right.
So if it's 6 to 7 times higher, I mean, that, and the parents don't know the reason.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Or they don't even know to look out for that because
right.
they didn't know that she had an abortion. Or, you know, sepsis, or, you know, she could bleed. You know, and so she does, if they don't know and the girl is unconscious, how are they even going to be able to treat her in the hospital? It would take, you know, so much extra time just to figure out what's going on with her if you can't just tell her right up. Tell the ER physicians right up front what's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's really scary.
Yeah, then you've got cases of depression. You've got cases of breast cancer. Not breast cancer for the teenager,
right.
but a higher risk in later life and not that much later life.
Exactly.
It used to be that breast cancer was considered a middle-aged or older woman's a disease, but the studies, and there's been over 26 studies, including 3 in the last year,
mm-hmm.
That have shown that there is an increased risk of breast cancer. And, you know, particularly it seems that in the younger the girl is that has the abortion, particularly if it's her first abortion, which is most
first
likely
going to
be,
yeah.
first pregnancy is aborted, then it significantly increases their chance of getting breast cancer later in life and at an earlier
right.
Age.
And these are before you can detect them using the mammograms. Because girls, you know, 30, 40 years old, they're not even getting the mammograms.
Right.
And so it's really, and they're cutting back on mammograms for women over 50 too.
Yeah.
So it's really, really particularly scary for teenagers to mm-hmm. get an abortion.
Well, there was one of these breast cancer studies. They had a small group of 10 girls, you know, under 18, who had a family history of breast cancer, and each of the 10 ended their first pregnancy with an abortion. And they followed those girls, and all 10 came down with breast cancer before the age of 40, before they would have even started
right.
having mammograms.
Right.
And they're often more serious cases. I mean, 1/3 of women die from breast
right.
cancer, but these are even more aggressive cancers that these
right.
Young women get.
And like you said, they're hard to diagnose. I mean, it's hard for a woman to even convince her physician that she might have cancer if she's under 40. And the control group for that, the group of girls who had, you know, family history of breast cancer and did not have an abortion as a teenager or ever, they did not show... did not develop breast cancer before the age of 40. So that really skewed the results really, really in favor of the abortion breast cancer link.
Right. Well, actually, it's undisputed that completing the first pregnancy with full-term birth
is
protective. It actually reduces the chance that a woman will have breast cancer mm-hmm. at any period in her life. You know, so that's, you know, you're not only losing that protective factor, but you're increasing, you know, the risk.
Wow. So we're really hoping that you can, if not this year, you lay the groundwork this year. So if we can't get something passed this year, maybe next year we could get it, you know, in the legislative session.
We hope so. And we hope just by raising it this year, it can make it an issue in the elections that are coming up this year, whether there's a bill or not. You know, people should be asking their legislators, you know, what is your position on parental notification concerning abortion in minors?
Right.
And, you know, there's been a couple of cases here in Connecticut in the last couple of years that sort of highlight this whole issue. You know, one of them was that case from a guy up in West Hartford, I guess it was, who abducted a young girl and kept her hidden in his house for a year. And during that period, she became pregnant by him, I guess, and he took her to Planned Parenthood in West Hartford. And they didn't
question it.
She was a minor. She didn't get her parents' permission, and they didn't question it, and she got the abortion, and she remained hidden in this guy's home for several months after that, before she was finally discovered.
Wow.
You know, they could have, you know, blown the whistle if they had had any interest in doing something, or if the law required them to do something. Then there was another case, and this brings up, the other side is going to say, well, in some cases, it's dangerous for the girl to let her parents know. And that's true. In some cases, it could be if there's cases of incest, either the girl's father or a brother or some other family member in the household. Now, if it's not the father, you may still need, let the parents know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think the mother should really know.
Right.
This is especially going on.
But if it is a father and there is that case, then fine. Then it should be brought to a judge. Somehow it's got to be brought out by the minor girl.
To protect the girl.
To let her know.
Exactly.
Or to let someone know, in this case a judge, to get a bring it to his attention and then to the state's attention that there's a case of incest, and that, if she had the abortion without anyone being notified, then she's just going to go right back into the same situation. So yes, there's our cases where it shouldn't be brought necessarily to the parents' attention, but it should be brought to somebody's attention, not just to the abortion
somebody
clinic's
attention.
Somebody
with the child's best interest at heart, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and we already touched on the medical reasons that the parents, they have a responsibility for their daughter's health. And, so that's a major reason. The other major reason is that, the newer studies that are being done, one of them shows that 64% of all abortions, not just on minors, but 64% of all abortions are forced abortions. So,
meaning that the woman, it's not really the woman's choice, but
somebody,
either her parent or her boyfriend or her husband or somebody is forcing her to have the abortion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you would think that the pro-choice, side would
what they call the pro-choice
side, everything they could to protect those women so that they would be able to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously not heavy.
Yeah, and you can see, they say that in the case, one study of the incest victims, they said that in virtually half the girls that were victims of incest, they ended up having abortions. Of those half that got the abortion, most all of those were forced by the parent or the perpetrator.
So not only are they abusing the child, but then they're also forcing her to have an abortion, which further, eliminates her control of her own body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Right. And then the other cases where, well, what kind of pressure can you bring on someone to force them to have an abortion?
Right.
There's many. There's one case in Congress they were talking about a law to prevent girls being taken across state lines to avoid their home state's parental notification laws to go to a state, which happens frequently between like Massachusetts, which has parental consent, and bringing the girl to Connecticut to have an abortion and nobody knows.
Right.
But there was one case, a girl was taken from Pennsylvania into New Jersey to have an abortion. And she was taken there by the parents of her boyfriend. So the boyfriend's parents knew about it, but her own parents didn't. To me, that's could almost be child abduction or kidnapping across the state line.
Because
apparently it's not if it's concerning abortion.
Wow.
So that's the kind of pressure, from the boyfriend's parents who don't want their son, to end up as a father and child support at a young age. It could be, there's been talk in the last few years about, you look on a college campus, how many pregnant women do you see there? Not even much. Though those are the ones who are getting abortions right. at that age, that's 18 to 22 is one of the major ages for getting abortions. And yet you don't see the women that are pregnant. If a girl has a college scholarship mm-hmm. for sports, she suddenly gets pregnant. The coach can easily, say, well, that's, there goes your free ride here.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of pressures that can be brought on people. And, oftentimes it's a school nurse or a teacher, who's saying, you need to get an abortion. And they'll bring them across the state line or just simply refer them down the street to Planned Parenthood or somewhere. And, again, that same teacher or nurse couldn't give that girl an aspirin, but she can take them down to Planned Parenthood without a field trip permission from the parents.
Wow. It's just ludicrous that, that we're undermining the parental rights, really, of parents in here in Connecticut.
And the responsibility of the parents.
Yes, yeah.
To take care of their daughter. It's a very, every time I hear the other side, they say, we want to protect the right of the woman to have, control over her own body, and that we don't trust girls, to make their own decisions. And yet, it can't get more cynical when you see the statistic that 64% are not making their own decision.
Right.
They're being forced, to have the abortion against their own
will.
Right,
so where are they there to protect the women at that point,
Right.
How come we're not protecting those women and doing all we can to...
Right, so they don't want a law in this case, but of course they don't want a paternalistic government, protecting the girls in this case. But of course, if you say, well, maybe we should do away with these sexual assault laws or murder laws, then I'm sure that they would start screaming.
Yeah.
In this case, it's just supposedly a different situation. But that I mentioned the homicide laws, doing away with them. Do you know the number one cause of death among pregnant women?
Is
homicide.
Murder, yeah.
So that's how
that's
far
another force.
The pressure.
That's exactly, you're exactly right. I mean, so if a woman doesn't, submit to the abortion, there's always that option, and it's more real than you, more frequent than you really think.
Right.
You know
so,
about.
So it can easily escalate to domestic violence.
And if abortion were not legal, then the men would not have that to hold over those women's heads.
Right. It would make it more difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm. If abortion weren't legal, then women wouldn't be forced to quit their jobs or have an abortion. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be able to pressure women into having an abortion because it's not legal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're really not protecting women by having abortion legal. We're probably hurting way more women by having it legal than before when it was not legal.
Exactly right. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to press on it this year. It's going to be an uphill battle, especially in this state. But again, need people to contact our legislators and sound them out as far as what their position is, and then take that into consideration, when they vote. So you need to ask your the challengers to the candidates as well, to the incumbents,
mm-hmm.
And then vote accordingly.
A lot of people think, well, it's just a state legislature. What can they do? How much do they really need to be pro-life? And there's a couple of reasons. I mean, one, like you said, parental notification and any other kind of pro-life issues we might want to bring up. That I think you have a couple more to talk about. But the other thing is, this is like the breeding ground for our, legislators for the federal government, mm-hmm. and for our governors, and for so it really does matter who we put or who we send to Hartford. So we really do have to do our best to send pro-life people to Hartford, because they are the ones, those are the future leaders, and we really need to.
It's really critical because the people that you elect to Congress, they're down in Washington, but they're looking over their shoulder back to see what the legislature is doing. And if the legislature does nothing on parental notification or to ban abortion in any way, then they're going to vote for abortion and against any bans in Washington.
Right, because it's like a little test, to see what the mood of the people is. And
right.
We really need to get moody.
Definitely.
So what else is on the slate?
There is another bill. It's number 5165, and it's called An Act Concerning High School Graduation Requirements. And this one sort of slipped by us. They've already had a public hearing on it. Yeah. We don't normally look for graduation requirements, but in this case, what they want to do is include a half credit of comprehensive health education.
Oh, that's good. I mean, isn't it like, you know, heart healthy, eating healthy, and exercising?
That's 50 years ago it would have been, yes. But, this, of course, is going to include comprehensive health education. Now means comprehensive sex education. Mm-hmm. And comprehensive sex education means teaching about abortion and condoms and sexually transmitted diseases. No problem with that if you tell people that the condom doesn't protect against
right.
them.
But they're not going to say that.
Yeah. And now that we have gay marriage legal in Connecticut, I'm sure that that's going to be included, that that gay marriage is just equal to regular marriage or marriage between one man and one woman. Mm-hmm. So that that is on the agenda now. Public hearing has already been held. It would require a half a credit in high school, to graduate.
And this would not be something that you could opt out of, obviously.
Right, because it's mandatory, you can't opt out of it. Now, my kids, they've been out of school now for my youngest for 8 years, and got four kids came through the schools. And each year we send in a note saying, we want our kids taken out of, the sex ed course.
Right.
And they were allowed to do that. But under this, they would have to have that credit or they won't graduate.
Wow. I mean, that's really holding you. It's extortion. And this is really to push their agenda, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean, just gay marriage was just approved last year. And, people were saying then, well, you're going to have it taught in the schools. And it looks like you're not only going to have it taught, but it's going to be mandatory that it be taught. So it's just one more step in that agenda, that they've been pushing.
Now, does this apply to private schools as well, or is this just to public schools?
Okay, the way it's the bill reads right now, it would be just to public schools, so not private. But that could be down the road the next year.
Yeah. So where's this stand right now as we're sitting here?
Okay. Again, the bill it's in the Program Review and Investigations Committee. I guess they had a study that came out, the Program Review, that's a committee that sort of reviews all the other state programs. And I guess they had a study come out on the subject, and it came to this committee, and then based on that, they decided that they're going to include this in their
bill. Now, this is the only new thing of state requirements, as far as you know. The only new thing that they're adding is this comprehensive health credit.
That I'm not sure if they're changing some of the other
like
things.
Dropping
or not.
Something to get this fit this in. that might be something we would need to look into too.
I'm not sure what else they're changing. Like they have something in there requiring a couple of years of foreign language and so many of math and English and so on.
Which you expect,
So I'm not sure if there's any changes in those areas, but they are. This would be the first time that it's mandatory for.
Now, is there any way? I mean, it's not like they put out a curriculum to say, this is what is going to be covered, so that you can have a better, you could be educated beforehand to find out, what they're trying to push on your kids. So they make it sound like, well, everybody should have comprehensive health. I mean, we need to take care of ourselves, but.
They don't say what's in the course. The State Department of Health may come up with a suggested course, and I think they have. Just using the word comprehensive, that's the code word that the other side uses, meaning it's got to cover things besides teaching abstinence. And, the state of Connecticut, has refused to apply for even any federal funds to teach abstinence courses. So you can see the direction that they're going.
I know. When does a state ever turn down money?
Yes.
Especially this year. Teaching abstinence, they don't want the money. We're not going to touch that. And it's interesting because I see juxtaposed next to this healthcare bill article, there's one about increased teen pregnancy.
Right. This was in the Waterbury paper this past weekend. And now that that other article is just about one town, Torrington, which is talking about they've seen an increase, or they feel it's an increase in the number of teen pregnancies in that town. So they're looking at putting in a half credit, which is exactly what the state bill is talking about.
Because they haven't already been teaching the kids comprehensive sex education.
Right. Well, apparently one of the teachers, the middle school teacher, says that they, in their sex ed course now, the big word is abstinence. But, again, they're talking about probably going away from that and to everything, including everything else, comprehensive.
Right.
But it would be basically, he's saying that it would be, they'd have to hire a full-time teacher to do this. So it's another unfunded mandate, that the state is going to be telling the towns to do.
Do you really think that this is the role of the schools? Is it the school's best interest, or is it really the parents that need to be teaching their kids, self-control, modesty, is it really any of the school's business?
Well, my own view is definitely it's the parents' responsibility to teach about morals, and the church's responsibility. 40 years ago, some of the things that they're teaching in school today, if some guy came up to a kid on the street and said some of the things
right.
that they're saying in school,
they'd
probably say, affecting the morals of a minor
right.
and throw him in jail. But now it's taught by your sex ed or your health education teacher in school. And pretty soon you may not have anything to say about it, or can't pull your students, your children out.
And that's exactly what's happening in Massachusetts. I mean, as young as kindergarten, they're saying, with regard to the homosexual agenda, they're saying that, because a gay marriage is legal, we need to talk about all the different kinds of families that exist in Connecticut now, Massachusetts, and embrace these lifestyles. And this is something that you're not going to be able to get your kids out of.
Right. And like here in Torrington, they're looking at the teen pregnancy, and they're saying, well, we got more teens pregnant right now than we can remember. And yet we've had sex ed in Connecticut for probably the last 30 or 40
yeah,
years at
yeah.
least, pretty universally in every public school. And it's been coming more and more graphic, I think, each year.
Yeah.
And yet they're saying, well, that hasn't worked. And the girls are getting pregnant more often, so we've got to give them
more education
and more of the same, and we're probably make it more graphic. It doesn't seem to compute that maybe we're going in the wrong
direction. Maybe we should teach them how to read first. Thank you so much for joining us and for all that you do and informing us about everything that's going on in Hartford.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. Contact your legislator and find out whether or not he or she would support a parental notification in Connecticut, because that would be really important. Step forward in Connecticut. And when you look in the mirror the next time, we hope you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.